Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on tax day.
Woo! A lot of people didn't know that.
A belated tax day.
I don't remember it being this late.
Yeah, there's some rule they came up with. It was like, if the 15th falls on a Saturday, then it would be the Monday. But because Sunday was Easter, it gets bumped a day because the day after Easter is some sort of a holiday in Washington, D.C. for some people.
Yeah.
So it gets bumped up an extra day. And now here you have it.
On the 18th. 18th of April, 2017. What's new in your neck of the woods?
Nothing. It's been raining on and off and continuing to rain. They're just, all the reservoirs are full. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Was that you grousing about how they should be lowering the cost of water now?
Yeah. Don't you think?
Not going to happen.
They jack it up because there's a drought.
Well.
Another drought year, jack it up some more. Another drought year, jack it up some more. It rains and rains and rains. They don't say anything. Rains and rains and rains. They don't say anything. They never lower the price until then when it gets dry again, they jack it up again. We're paying like, I think, $100 a gallon.
Water's expensive. I never thought it would be this expensive. I had a water bill 1 month recently, like $320, just because it was a small leak in my sprinklers.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they look forward to that.
Yeah. Well, let's give you a quick market update about what's going on, because there's been a lot of hoo-ha and a lot of consternation involved. We saw that with some buying interest finally happening on Monday after a pretty dreadful week overall. I think that there was a sigh of relief that we didn't have a thermonuclear war with Korea, North Korea, that is, over the weekend. There was a lot of hype.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out they really haven't got anybody over there that has a good enough arm to toss a bomb our way. They can maybe get it a few feet off from the mound.
I don't understand how they. I mean, the embarrassment factor of building this whole thing up, marching. They do the crazy marching with the legs up in the air and all that, and these crazy salutes. And
they got some great. I think some of the marching things they've developed are fantastic.
I'm telling you, it's like Radio City Music Hall with the Rockettes.
Yeah, they got the arm coming across, and they do these different things. It's very elaborate.
It seems like it has to be very tiring.
I bet you you're pooped after you walk across. That's a long walk.
It's a long walk, and they had a lot of people, and they had all these bombs or these mock-up of bombs, and then they have this big celebration of their incredible might, and then they basically send off a bottle rocket that explodes in midair.
Yeah. Well, that was it. That was the idea.
Yeah. So there was a lot of real concern over this, and the Dow dropped, the NASDAQ dropped, and everything's under that 50-day moving average, for the S&P 500. And then we saw a great move, 175-point move on Monday up, for whatever reason that may have been. Maybe earnings season start. There was some excitement about that. There was potentially a ray of hope that now we're going to get a lot tougher on North Korea. I don't know.
We talked about this before with Putin. Don't you think they don't really make a lot of money in that country, and they're always having problems? Don't you think if anyone could profit from market manipulation, it would be North Korea?
You would think so.
Threaten a war, short the market, say, okay, we're fine, we're not going to do a war, and then buy at the bottom and ride it back up, puts in calls. I mean, there's got to be some way of doing it.
I mean, you would think that they would be possibly involved, you know, like, oh, you know, here we are. This weekend we'll scare the hell out of them and short the market and don't do much and we'll buy it back.
Yeah.
It seems to be.
They could also announce an avian flu. There's all kinds of things I think you could do as head of state, especially from a rogue state, to make the market go this way and that way. I don't know. I'm actually stunned it's not being done. And if somebody told me it was being done, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, not surprised at all. And you know, governments have a way of, whether it's just they're just so stupid that they can't shut their mouths for a little while. I mean, look what happened. Theresa May calls for a special election today. The pound rallies. And this new political kind of thing is just, we're not happy until you're not happy. That's what they're saying. Every day there's some additional political comments that come out. It's really kind of very, it's unsettling.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I would think so.
So we put a chart over on DH Unplugged showing how the pound surged after Theresa May called for this special election. I suppose what's happening here is this concern that if there is a special election, which we don't do that here. You know, it's not like our government says, oh, we want to make sure that we're doing the things that you want us to do. And we're going to confirm that with a special election. That doesn't seem to happen here.
Well, that's more of a parliamentarian kind of a government that does that.
And you got to love them over. You ever watch the house over the UK and watch how they stand up?
Oh, yeah. I put clips of it on the No Agenda show.
That's the best.
I wish somebody would put the Canadian one on TV somewhere because I know it does play here and there. That's the one you want to watch.
Oh, really?
You think that the British Parliament is entertaining. You haven't seen anything until you've seen the Canadian one. Oh, really? My God. It's unbelievable.
They're cussing at each other.
They're short of a fist fight.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the point here is that if there is this snap election that is being called, and if, in fact, May... although they did invoke Article 50, so I'm not exactly sure what the point is of this snap election and why she's doing this, but the British pound did surge today pretty dramatically off the open on this news, I guess thinking that, I don't know what the thinking is, to be honest with you.
I don't know what the thinking is either. It makes no sense. Yeah.
Let's talk about some earnings. We saw that Goldman Sachs missed by 4 cents today, missed on revenues, but raised their dividend from 65 cents to 75 cents. And the stock was down, I think, 4.5%, which is a big move. That dragged the Dow down because Goldman Sachs is part of the Dow and it's a large component of the Dow. So that dragged it down. We saw Bank of America recently report they had a 6 cents better than estimates. Revenues rose about 6.5% year on year. I think what's happening here is that there was a very big anticipation for many of these bank earnings because we saw that spreading of the yield curve and of the hope for deregulation, the hope for taxes, all the things we've talked about. And I think what's happening here now is that there's a bit of a head scratching saying, whoa, we thought all this was going to happen. And so we just drove all these stocks up and now they're coming down. As a matter of fact, I think Goldman Sachs is down probably 10% from the top. Same thing with most of these banks.
Yeah.
So I think that people are thinking better of the idea that maybe this is going to happen very quickly. In fact, we saw also IBM come out tonight. And IBM, again, had a sequentially lower revenue print for the quarter.
Yeah, eventually it's going to come out as zero.
Eventually, but they still seem to have earnings that grow. So the earnings beat estimates by 3 cents. The stock was down 5.5% after hours. Another stock that will weigh on the Dow tomorrow to some degree. Now, between Goldman and IBM, Mr. Buffett, Warren Buffett, is not having the best week of his life. He has a couple of big positions in IBM and a few of the banks. And the IBM thing is, it's not like he's going to say, oh, you know, I got to throw in the towel here. But he'll probably go out and buy more stock.
Yeah, well.
As will the companies themselves.
That will make a trade higher.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Netflix numbers, but Netflix saw that their quarter one international net additions, that's what some people have been looking at as the next frontier for Netflix for their growth. They had a 3.5 million new net adds versus 3.7 million in their guidance. So they missed on that. Their quarter two guidance is for 2.6 million. Expectations were about 2.1 million. So they're guiding a little bit higher. And their total net adds for the quarter were 5.12 million, which is pretty good. So they don't have a lot of churn. Things are going well there. They made estimates of $2.64 for the quarter. So if you annualize, that's what, $10 times four is about $10, maybe $11 on a $150 stock or something like that. So I think it's $150. It was down 2.5% on the day. Start out, it was down over, you know, when the news came out, then they immediately started buying it because that's what you do with Netflix. You just, you know, when it's down, you buy it. It's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, it's down. Oh, let's buy it. Because it's been so many times that earnings have come out for this stock and it's down after hours and then just ramps. But somehow the Glee wasn't held overnight, so it was down about 2.5% on the day. And then we saw housing starts also a little bit light, 1.215 million versus about 1.256, no big deal. Prior was revised up a little bit, so you kind of got to mix that up a little bit and say it was pretty much right on. March building permits were up a little bit, so the housing sector is still doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, that name is just a mouthful.
Mnuchin. Mnuchin. Yeah.
You don't often see two consonants together, unless it's like a Greek last name or something like that. Or maybe Chinese.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's strange. There's probably some reason for it.
Yeah, they left out a letter. So Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said on Monday that now he thinks that the tax reform plan will be backed up much further than his anticipated August 2017 date. Now, remember something. We're not talking about like 4 months ago. He came out and said, we're looking like August 17th. And kind of, you know, time goes on. It doesn't look good. So he's got to push it out. This is like 3 weeks ago. He came out with this August 2017 date. And here we are.
Within 3 weeks, he changed it.
Yeah, he changed it because due to the healthcare debate.
Can I ask you a question that seems logical and obvious?
Yeah.
Why can't they do both at the same time?
I guess they're afraid of one failing. I mean, it has to be sequential. Well, it has to be sequential.
Even if one fails, so what? If you want to do the tax reform, get to it. Start doing it.
All right. Let me let you in on the secret. Don't tell anybody. They don't have a tax plan. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, the other secret is they don't have a good healthcare plan either.
Well, you know, you could go to a flat tax and single payer. Boom.
Yeah.
How much of a plan do you need?
Right. Just replicate what you have on the current single payer plan. Go to a flat tax of sorts, get rid of all the junk in between, all the stuff that all the deductions, and just be done with it. They don't seem to be able to calculate this for somehow. You know, I think in this administration, there's like 500 people that have yet to be appointed. There are hordes of people in various areas within the government that are not on the job at this point. Are you aware of this?
Yes.
I would think
supposedly a scandal. I don't know what the problem is.
I think from the president's standpoint, he's saying, well, they're not letting them be appointed.
From who's they?
Them. Those guys. Whoever else is not, you know, whoever else. It's not his fault. So it's the everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I don't get the reason for this. It makes zero sense to me.
I think what's happening is that he's saying that they're not allowing for the process to go through, and everybody else is saying, but you know what? You have to first appoint people for them to either be approved or to even start. And the problem is the approvals are not going through.
Well, he should have somebody. I mean, does he think that he personally has to appoint every single person?
I think that due to his personality, I believe that he is desirous of making sure that every single person has never probably said anything bad about him, which is hard. It's like trying to get an unbiased jury in the Bundy trial.
Yeah, very difficult.
Very difficult. So, you know, with that as the backdrop, I think that it's very difficult. You know, maybe the vetting process, or I don't know. You know, so
well he's proven one thing.
Yeah.
Things aren't falling apart without all these people. Maybe they shouldn't put anybody in these jobs.
Yeah, but nothing's really happening either.
That's great if you think about it.
I guess so.
I've always advocated this.
You know, there is a interesting study that's out that shows that markets do a lot better when Congress is on recess.
Yeah. Well, this is permanent recess for everybody.
It's just a lack of all
you
sorts
can't
of-
screw up if you don't do a thing.
Yeah. All right. I want to throw something at you because something I've been thinking about. So the whole idea of a Ponzi scheme, you know what that is, of course, you know, Charles Ponzi back in the day created this thing where money comes in, or the exact definition is it's a fraudulent investment operation where the operator, who's either an individual or an organization, pays returns to investors from new capital paid into the operators by new investors.
Right.
Until the time comes that something falls apart, doesn't work for whatever reason, or they get caught, I suppose, right? So let me give you this. What's that?
They usually get caught.
Yeah. So let me give you this backdrop. So this company, this nameless company at this point, raises billions of dollars from Wall Street and venture capitalists. They continue to lose billions of dollars as they pay thousands of lower wage employees all this money. So let me just say it a different way. All this money comes in from the richy rich and it goes down to the lower tier wage employees. Okay. Right. Money's technically moving from rich to poor.
You're talking about, let's see, Netflix, Tesla, I don't know, Chipotle. I don't know how many of these companies are out there that are just soaking up venture capital.
Well, but I don't think Chipotle is, Tesla is, yes. But money keeps running out after they pay their employees and they do whatever technology. But this one's more interesting, I think, because, and they go back for more funding and they continue to bamboozle Wall Street with ridiculous valuations.
Yeah.
All right. What are the company? I have a specific
Uber.
Is this the potential biggest Ponzi scheme ever? I call it the Robin Hood Ponzi
scheme. It's not a Ponzi. That's the problem is your definition of Ponzi scheme is not what they're doing.
Why isn't it? If you look at they're paying a separate group of people. Now, they're not investors, but they're paying a separate. It's a modified.
There's your key right there.
That's a modified Ponzi scheme.
No, it's not. I don't even think it's a modified Ponzi scheme. This is the standard operating procedure for the Silicon Valley investment-oriented high-growth company.
But isn't this more of they're passing money through to an outside source? They're not employees. This outside source is the drivers.
It's fine, but you have to give it a different name. It's not a Ponzi scheme.
We'll call it an Uber scheme.
Okay.
Okay, it's an Uber scheme. It's an Uber
scheme. But I've seen this before. I can there was a company that did this electrophosphorescent display. Maybe it was Candela. It was some company that had a technology that was going to take over the world, and that's what they did. They just soaked up billions of dollars, and they couldn't produce this thing, and then they just folded their tents. But it wasn't illegal. There's nothing illegal about what Uber's doing.
That's my point, though. It seems like more of a Robin Hood.
Well, I wouldn't call it that by any means. If Robin Hood was a billionaire and he was doling out nickels and dimes to people, maybe.
There's another company that is also troubling me. It's right in my backyard, actually. You probably heard of them. It's called Magic Leap. Have you been tracking this company at all?
I have heard of them. I don't know anything about them whatsoever.
There's this company that has this unbelievable, like, futuristic augmented reality / incredible way of looking at the world that's just amazing. Okay?
No.
Nobody's seen a product.
Well, they're not going to be amazing.
If anybody you talk to that knows about this company is like, oh, they have something that's going on. They took over the old Motorola campus down here. They have all these employees and all this, but nobody's seen like anything. But it's like this company is golden. It's crazy. It's not a small deal either.
It's called Magic Leap.
Magic Leap.
Leap.
Leap, yeah. LEAP. It's all about this, again, augmented reality / what's the word I'm looking for here?
It's augmented reality, virtual reality.
It's both of those. It's virtual and augmented reality and all that, which, I can't imagine in a time where we have such potential computing power, technology, a lot of this out there already, why they don't even have, they have a lot of stuff on their website and things like that are just like somebody created this graphic to show you what it is. There's no product. There's nothing. I don't get it.
Well, it sounds like – well, it has red flags then, because the first red flag to me is that it's in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And the second red flag is that it's in Florida.
Ba-dum-boom. So you're not too keen on the Florida companies. Kind of like a Vegas company. What's worse?
What's
worse, a Vegas company or a Florida company?
Florida, because you get to keep your home after you rip everybody off.
Homes are protected from the claims of creditors, along with annuities.
A lot of people don't know that.
Money owned by husband and wife jointly together, particularly in a tenants by the entirety titling, annuities, valuations, somewhat IRAs, definitely retirement plans, and your house. But you just can't never leave. So you could buy yourself a gigantic mansion
Yes.
With all this money, and then they can't throw you out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I don't know if the feds can throw you out, though. I guess the feds have ultimate authority.
Well, they could just shoot you. That would really end the problem.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Snapchat, why don't we, for a second. Clipped under $20 per share and then jumped back a little bit today on this incredible announcement that they have something new called World Lenses. So you know how...
I saw this. Yeah.
You know, Snapchat, you can put yourself on it. We talked about this, a dog throwing up a rainbow or something like that, right? So you do it on your face.
Yeah, right. The classic.
Yeah. Or you share your face with somebody else and things like that. Well, now the big, you used to be able to use, that was the rear facing camera, right? No, that was the front facing camera, the one that would be on the front of the phone. Now the other one, the normal camera, you now simply tap the screen, you find new lenses, and you can paint the world around you. You could tap it and like a seed pops out on your keyboard and it grows a little flower in your keyboard.
Why would I want this?
I tried it out today because it did come with the latest update, and it was fun for all of maybe a minute, 2 minutes. And then I said, I don't really understand. I can make a rainbow like get bigger and say OMG and do the seed thing, have some clouds around someone else.
Yeah, great.
And so I guess that this is a
I guess if you're 11, this would be fantastic.
Maybe. I don't know. But the stock is definitely bouncing right along that $20 line, which I thought was going to be that level. And when it broke 20 today, it was down at like 1995, 92.
That was going to collapse.
Yeah, and then they came out with this announcement and everybody started buying it. Because this is going to make them a lot of money. This is big. So big. I still don't understand.
25 cent stock, let's face it.
I don't understand. Now there's some people talking about like, company that would it be a great idea if Snap sold itself? Already Instagram has taken over on these stories and have more users on the stories. Facebook has the whole thing. So why would anybody want to buy it?
I don't know. I don't know why anyone would want to use it, but people kind of enjoy it. So at least for a while.
People are...
They get giddy. They get giddy.
Maybe it's a sign of something.
Yeah, insanity.
Yeah, maybe it's a sign that there's, you know, that people are just... our intelligence level has shrunk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're just... all this education that we have now and requirement for college and all this, it's just we've gone past the level of thinking for ourselves. So we, you know, to create a plant on my keyboard... or to have an exploding shrub that a rabbit pops out of it is just really exciting. It reminds me of the days when we played Pong. Remember how exciting everybody was playing Pong? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And think back on how lame that was. But, you know, people would fight each other. I'm playing next.
Yeah, it was always participatory, I mean, until later. But the first Pong games were at bars and restaurants and, you know, you'd play the game with somebody. You'd play against them. And then, of course, they started getting fancy with the game. And then they had single-person games like Breakout and things like that that you could just play by yourself. You need a partner. And you didn't need partner with the later versions of Pong, which had the computer play against you.
Now, that was always tough.
Yeah.
I think never lost.
And then the paddle size would shrink and shrink and shrink. I remember all those. Yeah, I think it was better, at least a game of skill of some sort. Mm. Hand-eye coordination.
Well, this is not fostering any of that.
No.
It's simply a waste of time with no redeeming value and no lasting value because of Snapchat and things disappear. So.
Exactly, yeah.
Not a big fan. I think it's...
I can tell.
It's fun. It is fun every once in a while. You know what's fun? When especially an older person has never seen it before and you do something and just watch their face as they're looking at your iPhone screen as they're watching, that's kind of funny to watch them do this.
I guess that would be. It's kind of sick, but probably funny.
All right. Let's talk about throwing out the last 8 years. It seems that there is as we do know, anything that Obama did or the government did or the last 8 years of any.
Yeah. Somehow then they skip Bush and then they also group Clinton into it.
Right.
And so all we hear, it's getting a little old, by the way, I don't mind, you know, if they would actually start doing something, maybe hire those, you know, all those people they're supposed to hire to do something instead of just grousing about Obama. Because it reminds me of Obama's first 4 years. He just groused about Bush.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he did.
Yep.
I mean, is this what we're going to see for the rest of the American experiment? Every time a president gets in office, he's going to spend 4 years grousing about the previous guy. That's not doing anything for me.
Now, that's also fun to do. You can actually, when the president's on TV or maybe some political guys on TV, you could use your Snapchat and put like faces on the guys on TV. That's fun.
Maybe that's the exit strategy for Snapchat.
Maybe.
To somehow run this product on the TV. So when you see anybody on there, they're a dog or a cat.
Well, we saw that in the latest move, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos on Tuesday rolled back an Obama administration attempt to reform how student loan services collect debt. Back in the day, Obama issued a pair of memorandums that required the government, the Federal Student Aid Office, which I guess oversees about $1 trillion in government-owned student loans, to do more to help borrowers manage their debt or even discharge their debt. But it seems that in a memorandum to the Department's Student Aid Office, DeVos formally withdrew the Obama memos. She said, and the comments were that the previous administration's approach was inconsistent and full of shortcomings. Although, of course, you guessed it, she didn't detail how the moves fell short, and her spokespeople didn't respond to any questions or comments.
It was just bad.
Yeah, this was bad. We didn't like it. It seemed I didn't like the title of it, and because it was under the Obama administration, it had to be bad. It was just bad. So we're going to come up with something else. We don't know what yet, but in the meantime, we're just going to revoke this. This whole thing is getting tiring also. And I'm really pleased. It's not trying to be, you know, oh, you're Republican, you're Democrat. It doesn't matter. Come on, let's be realistic here. I think we just need some information so we can make some decisions, not just the stuff thrown at us.
I think there's at least one good thing that might come of this.
Yeah, what's that?
It may kind of exemplify the fact that these presidential orders, executive orders, are meaningless because they can be so easily just thrown back out. So why do them at all?
Yeah, that's a good point. It seems to be a bit of an ego trip to me, you know, putting these things on. But
yeah, it's
I agree.
Like a bunch of, it's like a king. And I decree this.
That's what it is. Definitely decrees. That's what this should be called. Presidential decrees.
You're right. That's exactly what they should be called. That's a great name for them.
Yeah, and you have
presidential decree.
And you have a guy with.
They should have a big hat, a big giant hat made out of felt and metal,
and with feathers around it. And then have one of those guys coming up, a bell ring, some trumpets blaring, and then a guy with one of those rolled papers.
Scroll
come down. We hereby decree that we will be revoking the last decree. Without any reason or provocation. Yep. Well, let's switch over to the electric car business. Tesla announced they're going to have a semi-truck in September. Now, isn't there a difference between, let's say, a semi-truck and an SUV? A semi-truck, isn't that like one of those Peterbilt deals?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. A semi tractor trailer. They're big, giant things.
I mean, you could put a lot of batteries in those. I mean, there's a lot of room for batteries.
Yeah, but how long would it take to charge one of those suckers? I mean, Tesla did have an idea, which is the idea. I believe this is used in Israel. It's been used for years. Somebody lectured me about this once. Because there's some government agency or somebody that uses electric cars for a lot of stuff. And what they do is they drive into a facility and they just swap out the batteries and off they go. So it takes like no time. You go in, you pull a lever, your batteries fall out, and you boom, new batteries go in and off you go.
Right.
Which is what Tesla thought about. They thought about maybe the whole undercarriage, you know, the car can go in someplace and then get lifted off the ground and then the undercarriage can drop. And then a new one could be put on and with the new fresh batteries. Instead of having to wait an hour or two or longer, you're on your way. I don't think they've been able to design the car to make that work and actually have the car be attractive.
Well, I mean, this is like a pit stop in the Indy 500.
Yeah.
You just kind of pull in, they jack you up, take it out, throw it in, and they go.
So they'd have to do that with these trucks.
And they have to, that means they have to have, I don't know what the, how many miles to get, 400 miles, 300 miles, and you have to have on every road.
Yeah, well, not every road, just the roads where the trucks are going.
Well, but trucks go have end destinations.
But this would you would have to assume the following, that these trucks would be assigned a certain route. They go from Missouri to Santa Barbara or something like that. It has to be consistent. So it has to be a trucking company that covers this distance or this area. When you go into Oregon, for example, Oregon allows triples and doubles and triples, these trucks that have, they look like it's like a train going down the road. It's a truck with one big thing behind it, and then latched to it like a train is another one. And then there's a possibility of a third one. So the truck is not just carrying the one big giant load, but three huge loads on the freeway. That's illegal in most states.
It sounds, it's very dangerous. It, you know, a little bit of a swerving action there.
Yes.
That's why it's illegal in some states.
Yes. But so as you get to the California border coming, if you go through Oregon, there's areas where all these trucks are pulled over and other trucks are coming in to hook up to these loads. Because they can't go into California with these doubles and triples. And I can imagine something like that working with the electric thing that would only have a certain area that would go efficiently. Maybe it'd save some money. I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I don't think this is necessarily a great thing.
Well, it's okay because if that doesn't work, they came out with an announcement today about maybe a convertible in the future.
I'm surprised they haven't got a convertible already.
I mean, it's amazing the amount. I mean, we do know, of course, that there is none of this is breaking news. It's not like there's something different here. It's four wheels, a steering wheel, and an engine of sorts.
We're bringing out a convertible. The stock skyrockets.
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything like, I don't know what it would be like. Next week maybe we have a new double decker that we're going to be coming out with for the UK market. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Not so much that. But it's I just find it fascinating. He is such an amazing marketing, just an incredible marketing machine.
He's got a lot of charisma and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak, and myself, Andrew Horowitz, is one word. Oh, by the way, I now have two different instances where I've used Twitter to a good advantage of mine. So the first one was when, if you remember back in December, that my car was broken into, they broke a window and I was at a hotel and they're like, no, we're not paying for that. I'm like, what do you mean? 10 cars got broken into and you have tape? Do we find out about? No. And I tweeted it and I referenced the hotel and
yep. Well, let's stop right here and tell us a couple of things. You're leaving details out.
Oh, sorry.
What was the car?
It was my car. It's a Ford Expedition. This one.
Okay, it's a Ford Expedition. Why would anybody break into one of those?
They were just breaking into the windows and feeling around.
Okay, so I'll just let that slide. What was the hotel?
It was a Hyatt.
Okay. Was it a fancy Hyatt? Grand Hyatt?
It was a Hyatt something or other in Naples.
Okay.
Mark Weiland. No, not Mark Weiland. Naples.
So well, you
Bonita Beach. About, Bonita Beach.
Okay, you bitched about this on Twitter.
Yeah. So I said, I can't believe, what's the story? They're telling me they won't pay and all this. So they reach out to me and say, can you please direct message us and tell us what's going on? So I told them what's going on. So they go back and forth. They direct message me. Yes, please supply me with your email. We'll take care of all charges. So that was good. That worked out pretty well.
Well, the way I see it, they have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't want to use it.
Yeah, so that was good. So now my second situation, I think I mentioned I started using the, just to check it out, the Dollar Shave Club. And so I get my, I get two razors. Yeah. I throw one in my drawer in my bathroom and I put one into my shave kit that I take to the gym with me.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know what happens. I've had the shave kit for a while and somehow the shave kit disappears at the gym. I don't even ask me how. I can't even, I've tried to retrace my steps 100 times. I can't figure it out. So all I could think about is either I left it there and somebody stole it, or somebody stole it, or I don't know, something. It's just not around. So I go on to Twitter and I said, you know, it's a shame. I have this wonderful Dollar Shave Club. I only use it once, or I just got it and put it in my, and it's stolen. So immediately, within 24 hours, I get a Dollar Shave Club. Please DM us and we'll take care of that for you.
So you got a free dollar.
No, direct message me and said they're going to be sending me a whole new order that I ordered, plus a bunch of goodies.
Oh, they said, wait a minute. So, okay, so they took what you did as publicity, and they saw it as this guy liked it so much that he's going to bitch about it having stolen from him. This is worth money to us, mm-hmm. So let's give him a new kit and some extra goodies, because in the end, we're making out on this.
Yeah, so you're talking about the customer service and things like that, because they've gone back and forth with me on Twitter and direct message with Twitter. So they get free publicity on the deal.
Yeah.
And I get a brand new couple
and on the show, for that matter.
Yes, this goes on and on. Yeah, exactly. So that's right.
What I call a company that's doing the right thing.
It is. They are.
Customer oriented.
That's what I said. This is great customer. I didn't say customer service. This is great customer care.
Yeah, customer care. You don't even hear that term much anymore.
Yeah, because it's a customer uncaring. But yeah, it's great. And somebody on the couple of people on the chat room are talking about, you know, one says, Sir Ben Rose says, the lesson is that complaining on Twitter gets you free stuff if you're a podcaster.
No, I think it gets you free stuff anyway.
I think so.
I got my best service. Well, I don't know. It's possible I could always get good service from Comcast, but you bitch on Twitter and you get phone calls.
Oh.
Yeah, I should complain. I should complain on Twitter.
We should start a whole service to do this. I also thought that now the planes are now having a competition. Who could pay more for people to give up their seats? You know,
right.
Delta is now at...
if people expect the $10,000 there, they can give... It's not going to happen. Never going to happen. Never.
But now people know about this. And I think we could start some kind of an algorithm to find the planes that are the most often used.
My wife and I used to do this constantly. We had flying it back and forth from Washington State on Alaska. It's harder to do with Southwest. But on Alaska, there was always a flight, the specific flights that they always overbooked, and they were always buying tickets back. And it was always you get a free ticket on the next ride, plus a couple of vouchers and a free ticket. So you get two tickets for the price of one and a voucher for some other crap and a free dinner. And it would be very consistent. One time we had the entire family, I believe, like five people. And this deal came up and it was just right. We all took the deal.
Right.
Ended up with a bunch of free tickets and it was great.
I would believe there's going to be some smart people out there that are going to try to figure out what is the most packed flights and go in and buy tickets on those flights. Worst comes to worst, they don't use it. But they'll hit the jackpot one of these days.
Oh, yeah. You will hit the jackpot. If you don't mind taking a later flight.
Yeah.
Or the next day.
It's not the point of the flight. It's not the point of the flight. It's the point of getting this extra money. Now that everybody knows that they're willing to pay up more, when they say $400, what are they going to do? Well, they're not going to say, no, $400, no. $800, no.
Well,
$1,000,
yeah,
no.
But there'll be somebody on the flight that'll take the $400. The getting higher than $400 is going to be rough. That's a lot of money.
I'm standing up in the plane telling everybody, hold off for $5,000. Everybody sit down.
Yeah, you'd be the troublemaker.
Yeah, everybody, they're not going to.
Do we have the air marshal on board?
I can create, I could do this. I could be a little, because I know they're not going to drag me off the plane. Everybody get cameras out. I know they're not going to drag me off the plane at this point because they don't want that publicity. Everybody hold out for $5,000 and then we'll figure it out. We'll split it up. You know?
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, by the way, if any of these ideas are helpful to you, like getting free razors or complaining on Twitter or possibly even getting some great deals if you get bumped from an airline, what you could do is you could donate to the show. You could send your money in very easily by going over to DH Unplugged. On the right-hand side, on the bottom, on the middle, all over the place, there's a little donate button. It's nice and yellow, lovely little color. Looks like the sunrise. And you can just click that button and donate away. You could even do a regular monthly so that we know that you love us. Because we love you. Any thoughts on this? Any thoughts? Nothing?
I think the loving thing is good.
Loving, yeah. close to the pin competition. We need a new stock. We're out of ideas. So we just did Snap.
Yeah.
We need to have a new name in the mix. I was thinking, do we want to do maybe some of the defense companies? We haven't done those. Do you want to?
I think we haven't Boeing. Done a Boeing. We haven't
done. I think we may have done Boeing. I don't know.
That name done Boeing?
I don't think we did Lockheed.
I need a list in front of me that I can know what we've done.
I can get that to you. But do you want to do, what is it? So let's think, is healthcare? Do you want to do like a healthcare company?
I don't want to do healthcare.
Not healthcare. Retail?
It's got to be something that's pretty volatile. Something that's up and down and maybe sketchy. How about let's do some overseas stocks?
We can do Alibaba. We could do like a bank overseas, like a Credit Suisse or a Deutsche Bank.
Let's do, I like this Credit Suisse.
Credit Suisse. So that's symbol CS, I believe. Yeah. What we'll have is very shortly, probably the next day or so, on DH Unplugged, you can go over and you can guess your price for Credit Suisse. And, of course, the opportunity to get a shirt that has a wonderful logo that people just really there are people that haven't – they get it and wear it so often that they have to get a new one because they don't wash them, I hear. That's what I hear.
Well, they have to win again.
Yep, exactly. So it's, you can get your pens and your charts out, and Credit Suisse will be on DH Unplugged for the Close to the Pin competition. Okay. Speaking about pharmaceuticals for a moment here, it seems that this is I can't tell you how upsetting this is. Leaked internal emails appear to show employees at one of the world's leading pharmaceutical companies. By the way, I'm not saying leading. They're saying this because this is a big company, but it's not a leading pharmaceutical company. Anyway, calling for celebration over price hikes of cancer drugs. Okay, well, we could stop there and say, all right, nothing wrong with that. So the company's making more money and they got some price hikes on the cancer drugs, or maybe it's working well and all. Okay, fine. However, the staff at this company, Aspen PharmaCare, reportedly plotted to destroy stocks of life-saving medicines during a price dispute with the Spanish Health Service in 2014. And after purchasing 5 different cancer drugs from Glaxo, the company tried to sell the medicines in Europe for up to 40 times their previous price. So these assholes go in and are deciding that they're going to destroy all this medicine to drive the price up of cancer medicine. I mean, how low is this?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And this is what's going on, even though that's the only one that's been exposed. This is going on with all these companies. These pharmas need to be regulated severely and punished.
Somebody needs to inject them with cancer and then see what happens then.
Yeah, well.
As awful as that sounds. So they need to get a taste of what it's like to have a company or something else at a company that they can't get. You know, God forbid they get some kind of a – how about this? That they get what's the word? What you can't – emphysema. They get a very severe case of emphysema, and the air companies are like, no, sorry. You can't have our bottled air, or you can't have the machine that pumps air into your body.
Yeah.
See how that goes for a
Move
while.
Move to Beijing.
That's terrible.
Move him to Beijing.
Yeah, exactly. Just made him, and tie him to a pole and let him just stand outside there during the heavy manufacturing times of year. Terrible. All right, we had a leftover from last week that I want to talk about. It was a little bit of an elongated discussion about this whole. I don't even know what to make of this. It's troubling. It's stupid. We've talked about these investment ideas that they come out with, these companies that come out with. Like, we talked about the millennials, where the millennial fund, the ETF, they come up with these catchy ideas. Well, a new firm has filed for 4 actively managed ETFs that look to capitalize on political developments in the U.S. and in Europe by taking long and short positions in securities affected by those changes. It sounds like they're going to take the playbook from Russia and North Korea, right?
North Korea, right? This is,
maybe they heard us talking about this. So the first one they're going to have is the Republican Policies Fund. And it looks to seek long positions in companies that will benefit from the current policies put forth by the RNC and Republican Party leaders, as well as their forecasted policies. So in other words, Buy America, infrastructure development by U.S. Steel, as an example, right? That would be, although U.S. Steel has fallen off a cliff lately.
Yeah.
The fund managers rank industry groups based on how they will be affected by the policies and then look at individual securities within each group, evaluating them based on fundamental valuations, all this other stuff. The fund then takes long positions only in securities that are likely to be affected favorably by Republican policy. So you have what? Defense, you have infrastructure building, and then they're going to take short positions in those that have unfavorable, like maybe healthcare or maybe Mexico.
Solar.
Yeah. Yeah. The Democratic Policies Fund. This fund will use the same strategy as the one mentioned above, but the policies put forth by the Democratic National Committee and Democratic Party leaders. And that's that. I find that interesting that the description was so small on this, even though it's.
Let's ask the question: is why would you anybody invest in the Democrat when they don't have control of the House, they haven't got control of the Senate, they haven't got the presidency? What can they do? Why would you invest in any of the Democrat stuff?
I guess you just
short that fund,
right? So maybe you go long the Republicans and short the Democrats.
Yeah.
They have a U.S. tax reform fund. The fund uses.
These are just idiotic.
Tax reforms and proposed bills to determine whether to take long or short positions in individual securities. They look at credits, deductions, income sources, and all that. Listen to this part. The manager will use such information as official statements, media interviews, campaign and policy speeches. But I've heard a ton of political speeches and promises. To invest in any of that is absolutely insanity. To hang my money on what one of these guys or gals says?
Just go to Reno.
You know?
Why don't you bet on sports? It's a much better idea.
It's just terrible. You know? Then you have the European Union Breakup Fund. This fund will seek capital appreciation during periods
that's,
when the EU
actually,
is
that's
becoming,
kind of an interesting one, but it's still, you know... It's kind of interesting, but it's still dumb.
Yep, I agree. So anyway, this is some of the things that are going on now that, you know, they're coming out with all these. I mean, there's way too many of these, what would we call these? The fad funds? I mean, how long is something like this going to be lasting? You have-
Fad funds.
Yeah, you have a period of time that there's going to be big excitement. It's usually in the beginning of an administration or administration change where you'll have significant changes in policy. Then it's kind of smooth riding for a while, right?
Yeah, generally, I think so.
So you got a period of time that's, let's call it 1 year from a new administration that has a lot of differences, and particularly if it changes from one party to the other, that these would do well. El estupido, as they say in Spanish.
Or is anybody picking up on these? I mean, is there any traction for these crazy
funds? I don't think
they're
out yet. Yeah. So they filed for it. So... There will be, we know, for everything that there is the opportunity to invest, there's always somebody out there.
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah. And let's finish up on two things. We'll talk about what you're writing for PC Magazine in a moment. But what do we make? I know we talked about North Korea a moment ago, but what do we make of this whole thing? Now the U.S. says they'll shoot down any North Korea missile tests. I would think that would really piss off that fellow.
I think so, too.
I mean, we're still at war with North Korea. At least they think so.
Well, technically we are.
Yes, but
there's
never been
a peace treaty signed.
I think they really think we are, though. I mean,
it sounds like we do, too, if they're going to start shooting down their missiles.
And why are we shooting down their missiles?
And why are we spending the money to shoot down their missiles? This sounds like a huge waste of taxpayers' money. They shoot a missile up. It blows itself up 9 times out of 10 or pinwheels down to the ground and blows up. Or if it gets somewhere, fine, and drops in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere, who cares?
And why do we care? I mean, I would possibly care if I was South Korea because maybe the wind will blow the wrong way and the thing comes down and maybe it's tipped with some kind of weird
poison.
And
why can't they test missiles? I mean, is it against the international law to test? They want to send a satellite up, perhaps. I mean, I think they tried a couple of times, and maybe they have one up there. I'm not keeping up, I guess. But it just seems like it's none of our business to be shooting down random missiles that somebody's trying to test.
I know. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, maybe it's because it's a wonderful way to put more money in the pockets of the defense companies. I think that Lockheed got I think it was Lockheed, got a $131 million missile order last week because, by the way, they have to restock the 59, well, the 60, but the 59 that we blew off into, I think they wanted $10 million apiece.
Something, I thought there were like a...
And why does it take $10 million to do a bomb?
No, it wasn't. I think it wasn't that much. But the whole exercise total, including the ships and all the rest of it, the cost of moving the vessels, was $110 million, I believe.
What an incredible waste of money.
Yeah.
$110 million.
Yeah, just like that, poof.
Just gone. But again, we have to restock this, so all these Tomahawks have to be restocked.
No, that's not true. These missiles are already expired. They have their due date is done, and they have 3,800 of them, and they're going to start shooting them all off because they're no good anymore. They got new missiles that they're going to build. So, they got to restock them, but they got to restock it with a new, more expensive, finer quality missile.
Maybe that's what the – I believe it was a – I'm pretty sure it was Lockheed who got the deal. Tom is telling me that Raytheon builds the Tomahawks and Patriots, but I thought that was –
Raytheon does build the Tomahawks, but it doesn't mean that they're going to build the next generation.
Interesting.
Don't know.
Interesting. All right. So what are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
I'm actually writing a review.
Hold it. I am astonished that you have this at your fingertips. Go ahead.
No, it's because you teased it a couple of minutes ago, right. And it gave me time to think about it. Okay. That's the key.
I got it.
A kind of a review, a quasi-review or a discussion more, I guess, than anything else, of this new Twitter clone called Mastodon.
Yeah, what is that all about? Curry talks about that a lot, right?
Yeah, Curry's all jacked up about it. Mastodon is it's like a distributed version of Twitter where there's no central authority. And everybody creates their own servers, and then you have your own little instances, and they federate with each other. They hook up into some sort of a massive thing, and I discuss the fact that you can blacklist various servers, the way it works, and how that may actually be a good thing.
Is it like a BitTorrent of the Twitter world?
No, it's not a BitTorrent, which is a way of chopping things up into a million pieces and then spreading them around and putting them back together. It's just everybody sets up everyone sets up their own shop. And they put their own people on there, and they set up like a community, and then that community talks to other communities, and then those communities interact with it, and then the whole thing becomes like Twitter. In fact, it looks and feels a lot like Twitter. It looks like, except it's white on black for some reason instead of.
So, what's the benefit here? The benefit is that you now are you have more control.
You have more control, and you also put a porn. And you can do stuff that you wouldn't be able to do on Twitter without getting kicked off. You can be political.
You said the magic word right there. Porn.
You can.
Porn. That's what it is.
I think that maybe there's an attraction there. I'm not sure. It could deteriorate. It could be deteriorating to like a Tumblr, where you just all these porn sites. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different, we don't know. It's just, I have mixed feelings about it personally.
And it's open source?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Curry loves open source, so that's part of the ticket right there where he can design it the way he wants to use it the way he wants to. And, so I think that's probably something.
Well, there's that element is attractive to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. All right. I also was very happy that, on No Agenda last week, I think it was last week that, he called you out on your pronunciation of the word Washington.
No, Goebbels.
Oh, Goebbels. Yeah, Goebbels. Well, Goebbels started it. That the R, why are people using the R in Goebbels, right? By the way, did you see the movie? I just saw the movie.
And I never say Washington like some people. I don't know anyone who says that, by the way.
Well, how do you say the word W-A-S-H?
Wash?
Yeah, come on. You say wash.
No, I don't.
I think so.
No.
And we'll have to ask some people that know in the chat room if they've heard John use the R in a few of these words.
I don't
before.
Use worsh. Hey, I got to worsh my clothes.
Well, what about the state that's just north of you?
Oregon?
No, the other one.
Washington. I think they shoot you in Washington if you say Washington.
Washington. Washington State. Yeah. But anyway, so did you see the movie The Zookeeper's Wife?
No.
Very
should
good.
I?
Very nice. Yeah, it's a Schindler's List kind of movie.
Mm.
You know,
this is about the Germans.
Yeah, the Germans and this the Warsaw ghetto, but the zoo in the Warsaw ghetto where she actually hid. I'm not going to give it all away, but hid a lot of Jews and got them out. It was very
in the zoo.
Yep, in the zoo. Used the zoo as an area because it was.
That's a true story.
I believe so, based on a true story. Yeah. Yep, Jessica Chastain was an excellent. She was a great actress in this. I thought she was wonderful.
She's fun to watch.
Yeah, she was wonderful. Let's get on to the stocks. We each and every week we come up with maybe or not some stocks that we think will be interesting to take a look at. A game that we play, not anything more than that, not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Of course, if you do decide for whatever reason to use any of our ideas, do us a favor and use some caution as well as some professional advice. You know, one of the stocks that you mentioned recently, way back, that just did phenomenally, I think you just missed it and then it went like to the moon, was Applied Optronics, I believe it was, AAOI.
Yeah, yeah.
Went crazy. And then it just got crushed like last week.
Oh, but, yeah. Those are problematic because you can spot them and then it's almost like a pump and dump. You don't know really when to get out. And if you're smart, you just get out early and then you say, geez, I really missed it.
Yeah.
And then you're just fine because it crashes. But I find that very distressing. I don't like seeing that.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Let's see what's going on. We have still a lot of red. Qualcomm, my buy of Qualcomm down 6%. Your Kinder Morgan is up 6%. Barclays still just hanging in there, not going anywhere.
Love Barclays.
The longs and the shorts, it's a kind of a mixed bag. Gilead Sciences, which is your short, is up 2.5%. Your Tronc long position up 9.5%. My Tesla is nothing. Campbell Soup with the huge insider buying is up slightly.
Finally, it's starting to move.
Yeah, Trade Desk, I don't know why the Trade Desk is floating down here. It may just be along with some of the technology that's going on right now. There was a major player that lowered their active stake today, I saw, but still, pretty volatile.
That Trade Desk is a turkey. I think you're going to lose on that one.
It looks that way. Yeah. Take Two Interactive short is off by about 1.5%. Now, I do not have any particular. This earnings season, so I got to get in the groove of earnings season to see what's happening. Right now, I would be leaning on the short side of things at the moment, just very early on here. But I'm going to wait just a little while to get a real good one.
Well, I've got some insiders here we might want to look at.
Okay.
Or I might want to look at.
Okay.
Starting with one is Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bought a lot this week, right?
Yeah, it sure looks like it. And Wells Fargo, which is, you know, a horrible company. I think I shorted them once saying they do not deserve to live.
Yeah, I believe so.
But since we're stock market and we're always, this is about the stock market, maybe they should live. I should maybe buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Which again is just sinful. NuStar Energy, which took a beating and then dropped down to 47 something, has a huge buy by William Greeley, who is one of the directors, and he's been buying it on and off for some time.
Is that NUE?
NS.
Oh, just NS. Oh, I'm thinking NUE. Yeah.
NuStar, and he, he's been buying like he buys. I'll give you some examples of his purchases. He buys $900,000 here in November. There's $1 million '08 back there in February. He bought it back in September. He bought $93,000 worth. And he watched it go up, I guess, a little bit. Then it crashed, of course. And so he's buying and buying. Now he bought $14 million worth.
Wow.
So, I mean, when I see something like that, I say, this isn't right.
Suspect.
So I'm going to go long on NS.
NuStar Energy.
Yeah.
LP. And Wells Fargo.
Well, the Wells Fargo one, yes, I think so. I think I'll just, that's a more of a lark. But I'm going to do that too.
Okay, so I have one insiders for Wells Fargo with that they're forgiven. We have insiders.
They're forgiven. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket.
Big buying.
Big buying. He's a director. He's not the CEO, which is always different. There's a third one. I don't know who these guys are. I don't know anything about the company. IDT Corporation, We have Howard Jonas. It just bought a bunch of it. And he's another one of these guys. He's mostly into a company called Zedge. He's buying and buying and buying Zedge. I never heard of these guys. Mm. It's a cheap stock. I might not be a bad idea to buy it. He was actually, and he's also with Genie Energy. This is another cheap stock. He's the chairman and CEO. With IDT, he is the chairman of the board. And I'm looking back at his record here, and he has not bought any of this company ever that I can find going back years. Oh, here's some way back. He sold years ago for 17. He dumped it. And now he bought back at 13. But he bought like $9 million worth this IDT operation. But I'm going to let that slide. I may put that on next show because I've looked into this company, see who this guy is and what these companies are like.
Okay, you know,
I never heard of any of these companies.
By the way, this is very reminiscent of. Have you been watching the series Billions?
I watch it on and off. I really like it.
It's great. This is all about this.
Yeah,
it's all like the insiders, the guys that know are doing the deal, you know, and just following them around.
Yeah,
why not?
It's a strategy.
Yeah,
and it's a lazy strategy. But I think it's a better strategy for people who aren't just on a terminal, on a Bloomberg terminal all day and night, and they just want to, you know, kind of play some interesting stocks. Again, the problem is like that one you pointed out earlier, is the stock skyrockets and then collapses. And what do you, you know, you're sitting on the thing. I mean, it's really hard to get out of some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we have our rules, and so we just get kicked out of them whether we like it or not.
Right, exactly. But that's also a good strategy because there's no emotions that are attached to it. It's just, you know, show me the money or don't.
Yeah, you're in, you're out, you're done. I mean, like Barclays, we haven't been kicked out of that, and it's up quite a bit.
Yep, exactly. By the way, I don't know right now. I'm going to be out of town next week. I'm not quite sure that I can do a show, so I'll let you know about that.
All right. Well, people can
listen to reruns. Listen to reruns.
Reruns. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.